Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Alice, and welcome to the Emotional Bonding and Chemistry Teleseminar exclusively for the Love Club. This is a very interesting topic that we're speaking about tonight, and I have to say it comes up frequently in my work, both with you guys and in person. As you may know, I'm coming off a few weeks of teaching all over the U.S., and it's so interesting that as people have been doing my work and evolving, different issues actually are rearing their heads. And I have to say I'm proud of you guys because we're seeing progress just in the quality of the questions and the quality of some of the issues that are coming up. Some of them are even what I would call quality problems. And what I mean by a quality problem is you're in a relationship and some things are coming up because you've manifested, and it's certainly important to be grateful for that kind of a quality problem, as I say. And so in the Love Club members, you guys are the ones I see the most progress with, and I expect that because you are the most dedicated to doing this work. Emotional bonding and chemistry are extremely ephemeral. They're elusive and hard to predict because we are all human beings, and it's a form, in my opinion, it's kind of a magic that goes on. And so for that reason, you can't predict them. If you're not having chemistry in your life right now, it certainly could happen at any minute, and that's part of the magic of it. And it's not something that you can force or make happen if it's not. During this time together, we are going to go over some things that you can do to enhance it. So you will have more a feeling of not missing opportunities. But what I know for sure is that you will have crackling chemistry with your soulmate. You get that, and there's no need to compromise. So rest assured that you don't have to settle for someone who is nice, who fits your profile of what you want, but where there's just no juice, no passion at all. You actually get the passion along with many, many other things. And emotional bonding is tremendous. It's something that usually happens gradually, but once in place, it can be relied upon to see you two through a lot of things together. And as a side note, I just taught my once yearly Releasing a Person workshop live. And if you knew how much emotional bonding is real and how much it is a sticking point, you would worry less. And of course, in the Love Club work, worrying less is one of our goals. But particularly when you're insecure about a relationship but you're emotionally bonded, you can rely much more than you realize on the emotional bond to keep the other person there. Because even the people in the workshops this past week that I taught who had broken up and were clear it wasn't the right fit, they were having a time of letting go. And so you can trust emotional bonding to see you through a lot with your soulmate and to keep it going and be relied upon even when issues come up. They don't come up nearly as bad when you're with your soulmate, but still, you know, as long as you're growing, they may come up to some extent. And the Love Club work, one of the journeys that we take is making it much easier, having it so it just blows by very quickly. So we're going to approach chemistry and bonding from several perspectives today. Both creating them at the beginning when you're just calling forth your soulmate, and I know many of you are at that stage, and then also for those of you who are in a relationship. We will do a guided meditation to remove the block to these important ingredients in love as well as we go. I'm going to end with how to tell when you should just give up, okay, and also a warning. And, of course, I will give you homework as well. So let's start with this. Here are some basics concerning chemistry. Number one, soft is easier to love and relate to than hard. What does this mean? Softness involves allowing yourself to be vulnerable, to be friendly, open to connection, and moving forward. And you kind of know. When somebody says there's a hard person, usually they're very closed emotionally, they might be angry, they have many walls up to being open. And we know a soft person as well. It's someone who is friendly and their energy is somewhat open, usually they're compassionate. And what prevents softness is being hard, angry, judgmental, and closed because of this reason. As we get experience in dating and in love, there's a temptation to shut down, to be super protected by being cynical, behaving in an unfriendly, sarcastic, or closed manner. A philosophy can be that if I'm tough at the beginning, then I'll be safe. Or that if I can screen all the losers out to begin with, it'll save me having to draw boundaries later. That kind of thinking is a big wall. And the problem is that if you're too shut down or too judgmental too early, you may be missing opportunities. Now, I do believe that your soulmate will come back around if you shut the door the first time. But why take longer if you don't have to? Plus, if you have hardness as a pattern, you're probably shutting out all sorts of support and love from other places, like friends and family, too. Yeah, that's the benefit. And one of the things I do see as people do this love club work, everything gets better. Everything. And so they find that their relationships with family get better. Their relationships with friends get better. They start having more friends. And even their relationships at work and other places. And that is because as you open up, as you get more in alignment with Source and with the higher levels of being, and this process invites that in, things get really, really good. A tremendous, tremendous block. This is number two point that I wanted to make here. A tremendous, tremendous block that I see, the primary one that I see is fear. When you're single, for example, the fear of sticking your neck out to bond can loom large. And there are ways we'll get into of minimizing your risk while opening more, sending out feelers to people you actually find attractive, which is kind of important because otherwise you're ruling out the person most likely to be your soulmate. And even in relationship, even with those love club members who are married, who've demonstrated and now are with their soulmate, fear can inhibit being close and definitely inhibit chemistry. We all want to be close in our heart of hearts, but we fear that if we really reveal ourselves, really open up, we will get hurt, even in a relationship with our soulmate. So as you progress, you have to keep going beyond the fear to the next level of closeness. And so another barrier along these lines is another fear is a fear of losing freedom. And that can be a barrier to love. And the thing is that in terms of being open to other people, it's a chance to develop boundaries so that you, if necessary, if you're with someone and you really care for them and you believe they may be your soulmate, but they're kind of clingy or want to be together more than you want to, you would have to develop boundaries. And so some people, rather than have to draw that line, will just not allow themselves to be attracted. They'll mess it up in some way, mess up the chemistry, certainly mess up the emotional bonding. Number three point that I wanted to make here, there is a certain way that chemistry is either there or it's not. Some people will literally smell bad to you or just be unappealing and remain unappealing, and vice versa. They may find you unappealing. And this is biologically based. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with either of you. It's just that smell, believe it or not, chemistry, smell are components in whether it's your soulmate, I believe, and in certainly in attraction, right? And so what this means is if you might have noticed if you've dated a bit that there might be somebody who you were kind of attracted to, and the minute you kiss or the minute you get close enough to actually kind of smell them or you know, or have some chemistry going on, it just fizzles. And that's because it's biologically based. You're not meant to be together. And that's where speed dating can be okay. Speed dating, in case you don't know, is where you spend 5 minutes with several people, you know, maybe 10 in the course of an evening, and to see if there's chemistry. And you really can confidently rule some people out. But to take it to a higher level than merely biological, I believe that we are somehow programmed to be drawn to our soulmate, that the chemistry, that kind of biological chemistry, will be right, even at an animal level like this, and certainly in much deeper ways, which is why you might feel that you've known them longer than you have after only a short time of bonding, and why you may feel inherently emotionally safe with them, because you are, because they are your one, okay? And point number four here is that there are the gray areas where you may not be wildly instantly attracted to someone, but you think they're kind of interesting. I find that too many are too quick to write these ones off, but that might be your soulmate. If you've been closed down emotionally, it may be hard to open up to someone instantly, or if you're in the middle of changing a pattern you've had of instantly being attracted to the wrong sort, you have to allow for changes in chemistry. It is well documented that attraction levels change as you go along. As you get to know someone better, sometimes your attraction level may increase with somebody, And sometimes your attraction level may actually decrease as you get to know somebody. And so we have to take that into account and not get too caught up on chemistry alone or chemistry right away. Love at first sight doesn't happen that often, in truth. And so you need to allow for that. Now, number five is a very, very important point, especially for some of you. It's critical. And that is this. People who have chronically had chemistry challenges or have never had a situation where there was both chemistry and emotional bonding at the same time have a deeper issue holding them back. Usually it's one of two things, either being too judgmental as you get to know someone as a way of playing it safe or trying to screen too early and thereby keeping yourself unavailable, or being scared to death of being close because you may get hurt or you might somehow lose your freedom. I was unaware of how big that problem was because I had the opposite problem, and I kind of wish I had more of the problem of not being attracted. I was attracted quite often. You know, I definitely didn't have problems with chemistry. It was just learning to keep it at the higher level that we're going to get to a little bit later. That was my problem. But as I've been doing this work with many of you, I found that there are certain people who have a real problem feeling chemistry or attraction with anyone. And I'm not saying don't be picky, because you're not going to have it with everybody. I mean, some people do, but for most of us, being picky means it'll have to develop, and it's just not going to be there with most people. And that's because, you know, your soulmate is rare. And even if you have more than one soulmate, it's still rare. But, and I had at least one person that I know of quit the love club because she could not get past this issue of opening up to people and even allowing chemistry to take place. And in this case, she just was not up for the healing that would be necessary to let in the right people. And then number six is also, this is even more critically important. Neither chemistry nor emotional bonding can be the sole measure of whether you are soulmates. Why? Because if you're wounded, your guidance system will be off. And I'm glad you're doing this work with the Love Club so that you can heal and begin preferring and attracting better relationships in your life. I want to give a couple examples of that. You probably kind of know what I'm talking about anyway. But someone who grew up in a relationship, in a household where love was equated with abuse or uncertainty is an example. If you had an emotionally abusive environment in your house where you're always getting put down, there's yelling, there's screaming, you will naturally be attracted to someone who is emotionally abusive or volatile in that kind of way where it's just crazy because that's all you knew. It's the emotional environment that you're most comfortable in. You know, you might be used to people screaming at you or being emotionally abusive or even physically abusive, God forbid. And worse, you will go with this attraction that you might have with someone who is not good for you over common sense that says to get away. This doesn't feel good. That is where my releasing work, releasing attachment, comes in handy, is when I get people away from someone who may kill them. And I just trained a couple weeks ago a bunch of therapists, of psychologists, in breaking emotional patterns. And these are psychologists particularly who work with victims of predators, victims of people who are abusive. And all of those people tend to invite the same relationship over and over again. And I don't know of anybody in the Love Club at that level, thankfully. But this is one example, and another is the person who had an absentee parent, often of the opposite sex, who always will like people who are unavailable. They will chronically pick people who are unavailable because they're used to it. This is where healing comes in. This is where you cannot trust your guidance system, your chemistry, as being the sole measure that this person might be your soulmate. There's also the example of a person who was absolutely stifled as a child, smothered by an over-loving parent or overprotective, and they naturally prefer people who will be unavailable out of fear of being stifled or perhaps to ensure their own freedom. A lot of people who secretly people laugh when I say this in workshops, but a lot of people who are secretly unavailable, the way they keep themselves safe is actually by picking unavailable people. And that is a surprising pattern that I've seen. And so if this is ringing a bell, then keep listening because there are some tools I'm going to give you. But most of all, just know right now that you need some emotional healing. And as you do, you cannot trust either chemistry or emotional bonding. as the measure of what is going to be right. Now, another extreme example is emotional bonding gone awry, and that is someone who may be held captive. Currently, there's one in the news like that by another, against their will, who will emotionally bond with their captor after a while. This may be out of loneliness. It's the only person around. It's certainly out of a survival instinct, and even just out of our innate ability, our God-given ability to see past anybody else's wounds and stuff, even their victimizing us, into their divinity, the underlying divinity that is in each one of us, even people we might label as evil or bad. In such an extreme situation, it's called the Stockholm Syndrome. That's the name that's been given to it clinically. But it is not a sign that you need to be with this person or that they are your soulmate, okay? Because loving yourself as much as you love anybody else is critically important. And so healthy self-love would mean that you are going to pick somebody who is good for you. In my book, Love Will Find You, I ask these questions, and these are signs that they are, if you answer yes to the first questions, this means they may be your soulmate. If you answer no, it bears looking at. Do they make you feel good? Are you happy with them most of the time, or are you mostly miserable? If you're miserable, look at it. Are they available? Is the relationship moving forward? Are they emotionally safe to you for the most part? And I add the for the most part because sometimes we create our own emotional unsafety. They're not doing it, but we're creating stuff or egging stuff on, or even internally we feel unsafe when we are safe. Are they physically safe? And to me, that's the bottom line, yes. If you don't feel physically safe with them, they're not your soulmate. It's not possible. That is against the definition of soulmates. Do you find yourself doing backflips to keep them rather than just seeing a natural flow of love and interest on their side? Now, that's not these unnatural backflips you're doing when you're insecure for no reason. These are the backflips when they literally are not with you on this or somehow have put you in a one-down position. And this last one is a warning sign, and that you need to take a good look. And just remember that at the end of this teleseminar, I will go through the rule of thumbs. There are several of the rules of thumb that tell you that you need to just get out of it, that it's not going to be right for you. Okay, so we're going to get to that toward the end. Okay, so this last bit about your emotional patterns, your healing process, are exactly why you just cannot trust your chemistry. And as well, if you're feeling mild chemistry with someone who is a breakthrough for you in terms of they're kind, they're considerate, they're loving, they're available, I would go with it as much as you can. This is when you don't need to trust your chemistry if you've had a really bad pattern of attracting unavailable people, people who are not nice to you, don't build you up, don't make you feel good, abuse you in any way. So if you're attracting something different, it may not be instant chemistry, but I would give it a chance. It's a good sign that you're healing. Eventually, and this is why some of us take longer than others, you will actually be attracted to someone good for you, even if you never have. And that is when you can, you know, shout a few hurrahs, because you were doing extremely well at that point. Now, I wanted to mention five chemistry killers. And these are after some kind of connection has been established. I am going to talk about getting your chemistry going at the very beginning when you just have met someone for the first time. But this is after you've made some kind of contact or connection. And it also, all of this applies when you're in a relationship deeper as well. Number one is you are needy. In a relationship, you're needy when you feel like that person has to be there or you can't live. You can't be okay alone. Needy will push the other person away. And it is the opposite, of course, of what you want. You want to draw them in. But when you're needy, train yourself to know when you're being needy, you might as well get your hand and give them a shove, because that will push them away. And you can be needy even when they adore you, and it's clear. But it is better to rest in the bonding that you've already established, get by yourself, and do some self-sourcing. That is a psychological term that many a good therapist teaches a patient to be self-sourcing. That means they don't have to look outside of themselves to find comfort, to find happiness alone. They learn to do what they can to emotionally caretake their own selves. And the fact is that nobody else can be your source. And so you need to know what is your stuff and when things actually do need to be worked out with the other person. And the big measure of that is, are they really doing anything wrong or they're not? Are you making things up here? Holding on loosely as a rule is better, and it certainly it is an act of faith than being needy. And so neediness is a chemistry killer. Along those lines, desperation is a real chemistry killer. And so if you're at a point where you've been dating and suddenly they disappear, rather than acting out of the desperation by calling them 30 times, leaving them endless voicemails, emails, driving by their house, or if you're in a relationship deeper and you're in a big fight and you want to do something really desperate, get yourself out at that moment. Do an interrupt. Explain that you need some time alone and work on self-soothing. It's even more critical at that point because desperation can, you can look a little Looney Tunes, and none of us are left out of getting to that place, but there's a good way to handle it and a bad one. And the best way, again, will be to self-source. Self-source can include things like doing your love club work. I have reports that when people listen to the CDs that you get in the mail, it calms you down. When you do the guided meditations, that is a way of healing. Do uplifting reading, pray, meditate, distract yourself for a while, and then deal with it when you're in a better place by, you know, turning on something funny on the television, by talking to a friend who you're talking about other stuff. Anything that can successfully distract you, even going to a movie, anything, will help you just to get off of it, get out of that place of desperation so you can get centered enough to make a good decision or handle it from a higher level. Desperation is the lowest rung of the levels of attraction, which I will get into more before we end, and is to be avoided or at least transformed as quickly as possible. Another chemistry killer is to focus on yourself. In surprising ways, I'm not talking as much about being selfish. A lot of you need to be selfish. Selfishness is good for you because you've lacked from self-love as much as anything. But other ways, and that's like being shy. When you're being shy, you're being very self-centered. And it's, I see it in my little boys who, between me and John, we are both naturally shy as children and have had to, you know, and still have to overcome it. And so no wonder we would produce shy children. But I always explain to them, when the other person is standing there holding their hand out and saying hello, it hurts their feelings. Forget about them being shy. Think of the other person. And so this is an odd but true way of being self-centered. If you don't approach someone, if you don't extend yourself to someone by helping the conversation to go or reveal yourself, then you're focusing on yourself. You're not thinking about them. This is a really funny way of being self-centered, but if you don't approach someone that you find attractive because you're shy or you're worried about getting shot down, you're worrying about yourself. You're not worrying that maybe they need somebody to talk to or maybe they need their soulmate and you're it. So as you train yourself on the ways that you might look self-centered or might be self-centered, that will be less of a chemistry killer. Other ways of being self-centered and killing the chemistry might include bragging or explaining yourself overly in some way. And other people sense when we're off balance. That's an instance when you may feel unworthy and like you have to prove yourself. And it's off. You know, it definitely is off. And that can kill chemistry because people can sense such a thing. And in that instance, getting trained to just be relaxed with it and trust if it goes, and if it doesn't, it'll be fine. Having faith will help you to break any pattern you've had on focusing on yourself. And certainly trying to be the life of the party because you think you need to entertain the person would be very self-centered and not necessary in talking about yourself all the time. And another way might be to patronize yourself. I mean, patronize the other person like you know something. And that's a way of building yourself up and trying to be more important. And it's off. And people know it. It's a turn off. Okay? Number four chemistry killer is to shut down. This is another thing where that might not be as obvious as it seems. Shutting down may include you have not dated in 10 years. And I've had people much longer than that. I think the record is people not dating anybody for a quarter of a century who have found their soulmate through the love club. So wherever you are with that, you're in good company. But after a number of years of not really connecting in any way physically or even having a sexual thought, your body will shut down out of self-preservation. And it shut down that second chakra. It doesn't mean you'll never have libido again. It just hasn't been appropriate. And people who are on antidepressants actually worry about the same thing. But the good news is what I see is when you meet someone who is, you know, you're one, usually there'll be this awakening. But if you have really been shut down, you might not bother to flirt. You might not bother to extend any kind of chemistry toward them, and being that shut down will be a turnoff, of course. And that's why I suggest people, you know, grease up their flirting gear a little, not in a way that's uncomfortable. Even the shyest person has some way of flirting. And shutting down might be the shyness thing I talked about before, where you're just not open, you don't know what to say because you do find them attractive or intimidating in some way. Or like we talked about earlier, where you're emotionally shut down because you're scared of being hurt. Any of that is a chemistry killer because there's no opening there, right? Number five way of shutting down chemistry, it's a chemistry killer, is to have no follow-up. This is another example of when fear will rule, and that is that you need to do your end in this case. And follow-up can be as simple as if you've met somebody, there's chemistry being there, don't make them do all the work. Say, do you have email? And if they say yes, which most people do, just say, I would love to give you mine. Let's stay in touch. Or let me have your email. I want to send you this funny joke about what we were talking about. Any old way to keep that door open in the moment. And I do believe, bottom line, you cannot miss your soulmate. If it doesn't work out the first couple times, you'll keep getting thrown together. If it's your one, until you do. It's not random chance. But why not go ahead and let it go the first time by not killing the chemistry in such a way? And so they're very easy ways to do follow-up, or if it's a party and you had a little connection and then you moved on or somebody dragged you away, then you bother to at least give them a look and a smile, some kind of opening again. And I see a lot of people have trouble with that one, and it's important, and it doesn't have to be overwhelmingly pressurized. You don't have to really put yourself hugely on the line or make an idiot of yourself. I find far too many people worried about making an idiot of themselves too soon. And that certainly is another example of being overly self-centered here. Now, as I've talked, hopefully you have realized some blocks that you have had to chemistry or bonding, and also identified what you want to happen for yourself. If you haven't, I want you to think right now. Let's take a moment before we go on, and I want you to become a little more aware of blocks you might have had to chemistry or bonding, and identified, at least set an intention for what you want to happen next in your love life for yourself. So take a moment to do that, because we're just about to go into our guided meditation. And the guided meditation is going to help you with those things, with setting intentions and opening up to what you want, as well as dissolving these blocks you may have had. Okay? So after the guided meditation, we will continue on this subject, and I'm going to give you some very practical tools to open up to chemistry and bonding. But right now, we're going to do our guided meditation. And so what I ask is that you take your phone if possible, or lie down next to your computer, lie down with the phone, or lie down near enough to the computer where you can hear it, or if it's a laptop, maybe you can take it to lie on a bed, you know, or maybe you're on a bed, knowing how we go with the Love Club. But just try to get comfortable. If you cannot lie down or you're not comfortable doing that for this, then by all means, you can stay sitting up, okay? And if you go to sleep, don't worry. I was reminded in the workshops over the last couple of weeks how many people fall asleep when we do this. In the teleseminars, the same thing happens, and that's why I found the button to end the call, because some people will fall asleep during the guided meditation, never wake back up for the rest of the phone call, and I will notice somebody. I'll go back to the page, and I'll notice they've been on for 30 minutes after the end, and I kind of finally realized and got some emails from people saying they fell asleep and never woke up. And so now I've learned to end the teleseminar just in case anybody goes that deeply. But believe me, I've had lots of people who go to sleep, and it does the same thing. It just goes in on the level needed. So don't worry that you miss anything if you do find yourself drifting off, okay? But having said that, let's go ahead and do our guided meditation. So begin breathing in and out very deeply, and let yourself relax into the chair, the bed, the floor, whatever you're lying on or sitting upon. And think of something or someone you love, certainly not anybody with whom you have stuff, but someone who might represent unconditional love. Children are great for that, certainly so are babies, animals, our pets, grandmother maybe, or sometimes just a place that you love or a view. Whatever it is, I want you to think of it and let it begin opening up your being, opening up your heart area. If it's a child or pet, imagine hugging them or petting them, and just feel the love swirling about your heart area and intensifying until it can no longer remain there, but it needs to spill outward. It's getting so big. So let it begin expanding upward into your shoulders, making them creamy and happy, released. And let it continue to ooze upward into your neck and the back of your neck, your throat, the base of your skull. And let it creep up and now into your face, your jaw, relaxing your jaw, your eye sockets, the sides of your face, your temples, your ears, and up the back of your head as well, your forehead, and all the way up to the crown of your head, and feel that same love seeping inward, relaxing your very brain. And feel that love traveling outward as well into your arms, from your heart, your upper arms, your elbows, your forearms, your wrists, your hands, and all the way out your fingertips. And feel that same love going downward from your heart into your sternum, where many of us hold trust issues and would definitely be a block, letting it soften and feel safe because you are. And feel the love relaxing your back all the way down your vertebrae one at a time, all the soft tissue surrounding them and all your back muscles relaxing, your spine being allowed to align a little better, every muscle releasing. And feel the middle of your being, all of those organs there relaxing, working better than usual as this love infuses them. And your belly, let it ooze into your belly, releasing and relaxing your belly as well. Feel your hips being infused by this love, your pelvic area, your bum, and feel that love oozing downward as well into your thighs, your knees, your shins and calves, your ankles, tops of your feet, the heels of your feet, the balls of your feet, all the way out your toes. And so at this point, you're infused with this warm, relaxing love, and I want you to let it continue expanding till it's just an inch or two outside of your body. So it's enveloping you and permeating you all at the same time. I'm going to count to three. And with each number that I say, let yourself sink one level into relaxing further. One. Two. Three. And from this place of feeling very, very relaxed and open, I want you to call forth anything that you've realized may be blocking you. Might be a fear, might be past wounds, and certainly you don't want the past to determine your future or even your present. Perhaps it's hardness, cynicism, being closed, or just not even knowing how to emotionally bond or create chemistry. But release all that now. Imagine that the divine is showering you with a warm, friendly, soft flow of water and just cleansing these blocks right out of your being, every part of it, your mind, your emotional body, your spirit, every part. Just feel yourself being cleansed of these things, mostly from your past, that may have blocked you. And know that you are safe to go deeper. You are safe to open to love, to bonding, to wild chemistry. It's not scary at all. It's going to be the funnest thing you've ever embarked upon. And we call in now from this space, as you open up, as you're cleansed of these old ways of being, these old fears and blocks, we want to call in the inner knower now. There is a part of you that is deeply entrenched, that knows how to be open, because this is how you were as a child. You were wide open to love. You soaked it in. You were wide open to connecting with others. You knew how to bond. And there, deep within you, you still know that exact thing. And so I want to call that forth right now and reawaken it and let it be. Let it start flowing again. Let it start showing you what to do naturally. And as you're letting that inner knower to come back to the forefront of your being and how you're going to start behaving and being open in the future, I want you to imagine yourself going forth a little differently, being open to emotional bonding and certainly to chemistry, whatever feels comfortable for you. Because rest assured that the chemistry and the emotional bonding happen in a way that feels good to you. It's not scary, whatsoever. See yourself bonding, maybe even flirting with people, connecting, and enjoying it. And see yourself going deeper with it. Maybe there's someone in particular you're wildly attracted to. Maybe you're in a relationship and you've let the chemistry go for a little bit because some fears have been coming up. But I want you to see yourself back in that bright, shiny, fun place of feeling chemistry when you touch. Flirting, looking in each other's eyes and just feeling a sizzle going on. If it's with your partner, then that's good. And if you're not with anybody, then see yourself as you connect with people of interest, especially maybe more than one person you're attracted to, you know, during the same period of time you're connecting. And especially, I want you to see yourself connecting with your one. If you think you're already with your soulmate, have that be the person. And if you don't, then imagine it's someone you don't know yet, but you get the chemistry like you've never had. And if you're in relationship, it may require your surrendering some of your walls to them and opening up, being safe for them. If you're not, it may require your letting out your inner flirt. You're opening up and being available and knowing that you can have boundaries if you need to. It's not scary at all. Imagine yourself flirting, getting a very nice response. As you go deeper physically, imagine the kiss that comes out of sheer chemistry that is just so amazing, and it goes so deep because the chemistry goes many levels, not just the sexual level, but it's an emotional level, a meeting of minds, of souls, of hearts. It's as deep as it gets. And there is no insecurity here. There's just connection. See yourself getting a response in kind, and the other person, you develop a synchronicity where the other person seems to read your mind, to know what to do next. And so do you. And you trust it. And it feels like a form of oneness that is amazing. And I don't know what this means for you, but whatever it means for you to go deeper with this person, I want you to see that happening now. And I want you to see it going extremely well. Imagine that you expose yourself. You tell this person something that you are scared might turn them off, or maybe you show them something. For some people, it's getting naked and being scared the other person will go screaming from the room. And instead of them screaming from the room, it endears you to them even more. And it deepens the emotional bonding and the chemistry. See yourself really being in the moment. It is a vortex for the future anyway. But at that moment, just truly being with what is between you right now. Not futurizing whatsoever, but just enjoying this moment of connection, of fun, of such a deep chemistry, thoroughly. And feel what that feels like. I want you to ask yourself what you want next in your love life, if you haven't already, either with the person you're with, or if you're not with someone, just with your soulmate, you know, or in your love life period. Maybe you want to date a few people and get better at flirting and enjoy the attention before you meet, or maybe you want the next person that you date to be your soulmate. But let's set an intention here. What do you want next in your love life? And certainly, if it is to meet your soulmate, you have to give it a chance. And so there does have to be the getting to know you period first. And, you know, it's very off-center to just rush into something. So know that it might be a process, but boy, will it ever be delicious. And you're feeling that here as we do this work. And let's set an intention for that together, because I am with you on this. And we are all together and supporting each other with our intentions. And so I want you to feel the commitment to this, and let's set that intention. So just want you to silently say to yourself, I set an intention, and then fill in the blank with what you want for your life. Say it silently, but do say it. And so I am blessing that intention. I'm blessing it and knowing that it is taking on a life of its own. It goes before you and smooths the way. It makes everything easier. And even when you're having a bad moment, it's working on your behalf until it is completely made manifest. I bless it for just that. And I claim and know that something real has happened during this meditation and that we do see the results. Barriers have been relinquished. Openings have been formed. Intentions have been set. And we do see it in the way we behave, in the way we feel, the faith level that we have, which is increasing as we go forth. It is done. So that's the end of our guided meditation. We're going to move on. And you will, of course, get the recording of this in case you did fall asleep and you're not waking up easily. So please don't worry that you're missing anything. You're not. So I want to jump right into some tools here because there are quite a few of them and they're all important. And just notice not all of this will apply to you, but just notice what might, and you could take a note now or later if you listen to the recording later as well. Here's the first set of tools. What you can do to foster and create chemistry. Number one is flirting, which is something that I mentioned in the guided meditation. Now, everybody has their own style. There's no right or wrong, and it's amazing the differences, because even if you're quite shy or introverted, you'll have your subtle way of flirting. And certainly, you want to be flirting with your soulmate. You can wink at someone who you might find attractive. You can use a suggestive tone, just joking. You could make a joke, but make sure you're making a connection on both sides. Give a signal, because studies show that no one approaches anybody else without contact on both sides. And this is, of course, if you're just still opening up to your soulmate and you don't know who they are yet. There's a mutuality, and that's when it can work. And so you need to give a signal, even though the majority of the time men tend to give a signal in the heterosexual world, then the fact is studies have shown that they won't approach if they've not gotten some show of interest from the woman, like a wink, like at least a little eye contact and a smile, if nothing else. Any old lame question can do, because it's not really lame at all. It's just most of our small conversation is not about what we're saying at all. It's only about an emotional connection being established. And so it almost does not matter what you say. And that's enough, because if they're your soulmate, something will keep going with it. It'll go somewhere. If they're not, at least you tried, and you didn't risk more than you felt that you needed to, okay? Eye contact is number two. Because eye contact is something I work on with people in flirting teleseminars and workshops, because it is amazing. That's why when a baby's born, the baby knows immediately to look somehow right in your eyes. So does your pet. There's something going on in the eyes as an energy exchange. And, you know, as I mentioned in my live workshops occasionally, I've known people who can bring anybody they want across a crowded room to their side by a look. And so eye contact is important, and I would work on it. It'll get you places just because it really is a connection. And too few people bother to use it these days. They try to avoid connection, but it makes everything easier, believe me, especially creating some chemistry here. A subtle way to create chemistry is to touch. That's number three. And then see the reaction. It can just be, and you might not be a touchy-feely, but if you're getting stuck in a friend zone, let's say you're kind of interested in someone, but it's just friends, it can begin the chemistry process happening by touch their forearm when you're making a point. You know, brush their hair and say, wow, that was a little out of place there, and I thought I'd, you know, help your hair do. Or what, it can be corny, it doesn't matter, but any kind of touch, or if they're complaining because they hurt, then say, oh, poor thing, and rub it, you know, or even kiss their womb, which is this horrible, because I have kids, it's this horrible thing that I do without even knowing it. If it's a grown-up and they've heard, I always want to kiss it, you know, which a grown-up might not appreciate it as much as my kids, but now they, of course, insist on it. But there are many, many ways, and touching does something chemistry-wise. It really does. And so try to introduce touch. If you're in a relationship, it still works, and it can help smooth things over. Okay, we're going to talk more about that later, about the once it's already going to. Number four, do these steps for emotional bonding, which I will mention in just a minute, because emotional bonding is one of the things that help chemistry happen. Sometimes chemistry cannot even develop until you feel emotional safe. So the more emotional bonding you do, the more of a chance there will be for chemistry. And so the other person may find themselves daydreaming about you without knowing why. A weird chemistry, because I just talked of the opposite, is to hold back. And while there's the part of you that needs to be open and needs to make sure that they know you're open, you want to hold back a little so that you're not desperate. Don't go hog wild. And usually you can feel where you're being off, and you can look at their reaction and know, okay, this is not reciprocated here. And so hold back in terms of if you're feeling a big agenda suddenly or feeling desperate, and maybe even excuse yourself for a minute, because that is more likely to produce chemistry than the opposite, feeling desperate, getting needy, getting clingy, which push people away. And then number seven of creating chemistry is to drop your agenda. One of the jokes I make is that the woman may wear her wedding dress on the first date. By the second date, she's naming her children, and a guy may be calculating by the second date how to get her in bed. And, of course, all that's gender, you know, big gender biased. But at the same time, many people have an agenda. And, yes, ultimately, you have a place and an intention you've set for where you want it to go. But you don't want to have that agenda take precedence over the moment of having chemistry together. Your agenda will happen if you set an intention and if you can see that things are moving forward. But to get heavily involved in the moment, to get freaked out because you don't know if you're going to get their number, if they're going to ask for yours, will really ruin the chemistry. And so drop any agenda. Be in the moment. No futurizing, even in what you say or even in your thoughts. If you find your thoughts going that direction of futurizing or having an agenda, get yourself back in the moment. Be available now for them. Okay? Now, here are some tools to create and keep emotional bonding. Number one is to prove yourself to be trustworthy. And that is, you know, don't create big scenes, for example. And that's number two, actually, is don't create unneeded drama. A lot of your stuff may come up that has nothing to do with anything they did. And there are legitimate times to point something out or communicate about it, but try not to be more dramatic than is needed, because that will push them away and you will feel emotionally unsafe to them. If you have a tendency to emotionally abuse or physically abuse, if you've got a quick temper, that can that needs working on, okay? And the fact is, as we continue, you're going to hear of some ways that you can, even if you do have a temper, it can still work out for you. You can create so much good emotional bonding that you get some leeway when the things that are hard come up, okay? Number three to create emotional bonding is to be a good listener. Really hear them and don't insert your own story that's related at that moment, but just hear them and be there with them. Number four is be there for the other person. Be supportive. Take care of them when they're sick, for example, or when they need some help. Be there. Be there for them to process if they've had a hard moment like that. And not in a codependent way where suddenly you're trying to make the world different for them. Not that to that extent, but just show up for them and in subtle ways, as little as listening, as lending a hand when they're in a bad place. That's enough, just to let them know you are there and you are safe. Number five is surprising, but it's so important. And so many of you I see falling down on this particular one that will create emotional bonding, and that is to be a good receiver. And in fact, I'm thinking of a couple of cases right now of Love Club members who got better at it, and I'm so proud of you because it helped. It helped emotional bonding. And you might forget this one, but you need to let the other person give to you. Let them take care of you. Ask them to help. Make them feel useful and able to give to you as well. Because there has to be a balance here. Accept their love as it comes. It may not come in a way that you wanted it, but notice it, okay? I know one person I worked with who, that was not her problem. She was really good. She was a woman who really was good at asking men to, like, help fix things for herself. And all kinds of guys would get attracted to her because she would need them. And they wanted to be the hero. They liked that. And this is true no matter what gender you are or what proclivity you follow. It's true. Everybody likes to feel needed. And meanwhile, you get help that you might need when you need it. And so get better at letting people give to you. It's just as great a bond as somehow trying to earn their love. And that doesn't work, and that can get very off-center as to try to earn their love. Okay? Number six for emotional bonding is, again, drop your agenda. If you argue, quit arguing. It doesn't work. Wait until you're in a better place. Quietly set an intention without even telling them and let it go at that, and it will happen. No one can be your source. No one can fulfill your needs, so get rid of that idea. And you can't control the timing of how things unfold. And so I've had many Love Club members in the place between starting to date to commitment and then to proposal go quite successfully and quickly through those phases just by dropping their agenda and being patient and letting the other person catch up or letting them have their own timing. And so I'm happy to say we've had a lot of weddings this summer, a few weddings this summer off people who did just that. You know, they dropped their agenda, they were in the moment, and it all took care of itself. And as long as it's dynamic and moving forward, it will. Your intention will happen, okay? Number seven to creating emotional bonding is work on becoming imperturbable. Dissolve any buttons you've had so that nobody can push them, okay? And some of you, I can really see that being an issue, is that you get so riled up over everything, you stop feeling very emotionally safe to the person. And, of course, we're not all perfect at this, but try your best to minimize your reactivity. It's an inside job. They can't do it for you, okay? And as you create emotional bonding, you can lean into it. As you create chemistry, you can lean into it too, and you can keep them going. And so the next part is how to keep them going once you've established them, okay? It's like a bank account. You put stuff in, and then it just works for you. It makes money for you. It's just like that. So keeping the chemistry going, some points are talk about, let's see, how to keep it going is know that even if you're feeling desperate or whatever, that it will be fine anyway. If you feel like you messed it up, don't worry about it. Get back to faith, because a ton of people who have done my work had a really bad first date, and they didn't mess it up. They still got married because both were so nervous. That's why they had a bad first date, or they were just so nervous. But if it's your soulmate, it'll happen anyway. As you have faith in this and kind of laugh off if it goes badly or don't get too involved in it, it will keep the chemistry going more than like getting all freaked out because it's not going well, okay? You can interfere with chemistry with desperation, jumping the gun for what's appropriate at that moment. Here's another point that's very important to keep the chemistry going. If the other person is telling you, I think you're my soulmate, you know, I could see us getting married. The minute I saw you, I thought we'll get married. Don't get into it. Don't start hedging, because you don't know where they're coming from. You don't know them well enough if they say this to every day and then they backtrack later, not as a game, but just because it's the way they are. And so don't jump the gun with them, okay? Hold back. You don't want to have pressure or desperation. You don't want to say stuff that you don't mean. And believe me, any of my Love Club members who meet someone and immediately start thinking marriage, you're not doing the work right. Because you need to hold off just as a self-honoring method, and certainly that will help to maintain chemistry. Okay? Because there's cases when you're not the right fit, and the universe is protecting you by having this person proclaim mad love and then go away. And that's okay. It means you're heading in the right direction because people are starting to say better things to you. And I've had people who do end up together, even when they kind of mess it up or go along with it. But I would hold back as a way of maintaining chemistry, okay? And not as a game, but just out of sheer self-honoring, out of a good place. Number two, keep it at a high level of relating. We've talked about the levels of attraction in other teleseminars. You can certainly go back and hear them. You have the library of back recordings available to you. But keeping it at that high level where there's not sheer, you know, animal magnetism taking over, but there's an engagement of intellects, certainly of souls and spirits and hearts, okay? If you're in a relationship, kissing 10 seconds a day, every day, and that's appropriate if you're living together or married. But otherwise, if you just see them occasionally, every time you see them, and you're to the kissing stage, do that. It helps the chemistry to happen. It helps your hormones to keep flowing with them. Okay? Number four, very important to maintaining chemistry, is stay with them. Check into where you are together by noticing their behavior. And don't jump ahead. And you can talk about it, too, to make sure. You can tell by how they respond when you're talking together. You know if somebody's interested or if they're seeming remote, you pull back too. Honor where they are and don't try to jump the gun because that's kind of getting into desperation energy. Maintaining the chemistry means don't assume anything. Don't assume you're committed. Don't assume that you know exactly where they are in the relationship or on an issue or that they're ready to move forward. Look for cues, both verbal and nonverbal, and futurizing can thwart you. And this is true wherever you are in a relationship. Check in. Number six is honesty. This is particularly important as you go along. If you've been holding back, scared to tell them something, which we touched on in the guided meditation, if you chronically end up not telling them everything or starting to foster resentment because you're not telling them things and they're doing things that you don't agree with, it will start inhibiting your chemistry, literally. Or if you're scared to reveal something because of a past wound. And honesty is a huge chemistry maintainer. So definitely honesty. Touching, that is number seven here. Touching is an amazing, and that's the last way to maintain chemistry. And that's why I think you see some certain high-profile relationships fall apart, because if you're off making a movie for months, you're not touching each other in any way, not emotionally. It's harder to stay connected, and certainly not physically. Physically touching is a reassurance. So as you go along, touching each other to reassure one another, holding hands sometimes when you're just sitting around, rubbing each other's backs, like that, it really helps. And so does certainly if you travel a lot, and they travel a lot. Keeping in touch through emails, text messaging, phone calls is very important as a way of staying emotionally present with them. I mean, really it's staying present. And it looks like we might go a couple minutes over on this teleseminar. We put 90 minutes, but we don't mean 90 minutes just for this reason, in case we do go over. It's scheduled for 90 minutes, even though it's supposed to be an hour. But in this case, I'd like to get to a little more of this material before we end. But rest assured, we're near the end, okay? So we're not going to go hugely over. How to continue emotional bonding. Good communication is a very big key. I had mentioned about the bank where you're depositing goodwill. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People talks about this, and I agree with it. Keep depositing into your emotional capital by being easy for them, emotionally safe for them, and interested in their life and what they do. Be their cheerleader. And that will help when with the emotional bonding. And when there's a bump, you'll have this basis to work things out much, much easier. Keep receiving and opening up, even when hard stuff comes up. Be honest, be communicative, and don't hold back. And this is very important because it may feel vulnerable, but it is the very thing that will draw you in the end closer together and work it out much, much quicker. Own your own stuff and be aware of when it's your stuff and not theirs. One great example is a couple I'm working with who she is wildly insecure and gets jealous over every single thing. He never does anything that would give her reason to be insecure, but she is heavily into it and brings it up as this big issue all the time. That is definitely will erode the emotional bond. And so whenever you notice something and you do a check and you think about what they've done and they really haven't done anything, you're kind of creating it. Be willing to own it, be willing to apologize, and most of all, be willing to work on it. Lastly, don't drag in the past. In my book, Love Will Find You, I outline the rules for fair fighting. And that means really being in the moment. Don't do below-the-belt blows. Don't get to that level, which is a very low level. That's the lowest level, because you will actually really erode the emotional bonding when you do that. Don't bully somebody into submission. Let them arrive at a conclusion. Nobody's your everything. You don't have to have the same agenda all the time. You're allowed to have different things that you want at any given time, and that's okay. If you have a temper, work on it, and be quick to admit when you've made a mistake and apologize. And if they love you and if you've created emotional bonding, you can get away with having some temper. Tempers are for a reason. They help people blow off steam. And when you've got a big foundation of love and emotional bonding, it's okay if you misbehave sometimes. There's more latitude, okay? But by all means, when you get back to your good senses, apologize for it and work. Talk about how it could be easier when you're angry and think on your own about things you can do to handle your anger or even diffuse it so it doesn't come up. I suggest meditating because it is a great circumventer of having a temper, okay? And as you work on creating and maintaining emotional bonding, then everything will flow more easily. You will be more easily excused when you screw up. You will forgive them more quickly when they screw up. You've made your love very clear, and things will blow over very quickly, so you'll get back to the honeymoon more easily, okay? And seek always to understand one another. The more you understand them, the less angry you'll be able to be with them on both sides. And as you bother to help them to understand you, even if they're not sure they want to hear it, it'll help to bring you closer together, okay? Now, to end, a couple things, and we're only going to go over probably 5 minutes, but use the levels of attraction that I have outlined as you deal with people and check in with yourself and see where you're coming from. If you're coming from desperation, fear, nervousness, you're at the lowest level. If you're at least bonding on an intellectual level, you're at the mid-level, at the human level, and that's okay. If you are feeling oneness with one another, if you're feeling attraction flowing, you're at that high level and everything will flow. If you look at yourself, regardless of them, and you're feeling faith and you know that no matter what happens, you'll be okay, you're at the oneness level, the highest level, and attraction will happen, bonding will happen. When you're outside of the vortex, and that means the highest level, you can't work anything out from that place. And so that's why it's important to take a moment and get yourself back feeling good. Your best efforts will be in vain when you're trying to make a decision from an uncentered place. And so get better and better at making yourself find center, and everything will go better, especially your chemistry and emotionally bonding. Okay? And then finally, there's a fine line between space and no space. We all need freedom, but we also need closeness. And so you're going to have to, each relationship is different. You will be different in every relationship. So maybe you had instant chemistry with a couple people, but it takes longer with somebody else. That doesn't mean they're not your soulmate. It just means, it might mean you're changing, or it might mean that it's just a different line there. So there's a fine line between being too close and close enough, and you're going to have to find it with the person you're with. Okay? Now, finally, what I want to end with is when to give up. Okay? And this is important. When it feels bad to you, when they're physically abusive and overwhelming or overwhelmingly emotional abusive, when they tear you down or not supportive, that is a sign it'd be a good idea to give up. Maybe if they come back and they've changed substantially and done a lot of work, you could take them back. But at where they are now, it cannot work out. It is not your soulmate. When it is not growing, I would give up. And that means this. When the relationship is draining you out, it's not mutual, they're not there with you, they're sucking you dry, or when the relationship takes you down in your energy, and it's because of them, not because of your own stuff coming up, I would bail, okay? When it doesn't feel like it's mutual, okay? When the other person is not willing. And I don't mean not willing to grow or stubborn about doing what you want to do. They're allowed to work on things in a different way than you. That's okay. And they're allowed to not want to do what you want to do all the time. But what I mean here is if they absolutely refuse to do anything toward the relationship at all, they're not coming at you, they've just resigned themselves and thrown in the towel, give up. Because otherwise you're going to be beating a dead horse and you are above this. You shouldn't have to chase someone or you shouldn't have to be the one just always doing the work. It's too unequal. It's off balance. I doubt they're your soulmate. When there's no chemistry or flowing and you've tried and nothing's developing, even though you're feeling it, give up, okay? Otherwise, you're starting to work for them. No work is needed here, okay? Or if you see that it's just for the sex, you know, that's the only relationship there is, and that's why they want you, but there's nothing beyond that. There's no Saturday night dates, for example. There's no bonding on other levels. It's a warning sign. I would get out of it, okay? And if it is still growing, if it still feels dynamic, even if you're not getting what you want or it's not as fast as you want, that's not good enough to give up, okay? However, if the person you're with has a whole history of going full throttle and then hedging, backing out at the last minute, a huge back-and-forth pattern that has got you tied in knots and frustrated, and you've gotten your hopes up only to shatter them again and again, I would give up, okay? If this pattern has happened several times, you're just going to keep doing it, and this is the time to bail. And at that point, I would do my releasing a person work, let go, and walk away. You can make that decision even if they're trying to get back in your life again after they screwed it up again. You do have choice here. And that's one thing in my releasing a person workshop, people would say, well, what if he's calling again? Well, you have a choice. And certainly it isn't necessary to be at someone's beck and call. It is not honoring of you at all, okay? And so at that point, that is a sign that's when you should bail, okay? Now, a warning, we're almost done, but my final warning is this, and I mentioned it before. Watch which level that you're connecting at. If the other party is obviously only interested in sex, or even if you're not sure, I would proceed with caution. Chemistry is great, but it needs to be at many, many levels, not just the animal level or sex alone. You may get burned, and it definitely won't produce what you want, a soulmate relationship. The other warning is that if you're with someone who has a hard time bonding, it may take a little longer, and the measure is, does it feel like it's growing? Are they coming toward me? And this is allowing for the natural ebb and flow. There's going to be a couple moments, at least the first time around. If it's a repeat pattern, forget it. But the first time around, the person may need to go back for a while to pull back and make sure they can get space if they need it. That's a test for you, and you will pass it if you give them the room and don't try to push at it and honor their need to be alone. But so that's okay. But if they're not coming at you and there's a prolonged period of them pulling back and fighting it, that's a sign that you should proceed with caution or perhaps get out of it. Okay? And there is a wrong kind of oneness that I want to mention, and this is the very end. The wrong kind of oneness, because I talked about creating oneness with someone, really getting in a groove. If you are at a low level of oneness, and that's like complaining or agreeing at the limits of the world and how bad things are, this is not a good level of oneness to be in. It's not a high level. You're not going to feel good. It's not a good place to meet on. And so if you're into agreeing on negative stuff, I would watch that. I don't think that's any kind of basis for real chemistry or any emotional bonding that would possibly last. Okay? So that's it. We're just about done here. But before we go, I just want to give you your homework. Okay? It's easy, I think, and hopefully the whole time we've been talking, you have become more aware of the places that need work on your part, what you need to do. But your homework is this. Out of everything we've discussed, and definitely in light of the intention you set in the guided meditation, come up with one or two things that you will do from the information you've taken in tonight to move forward in your love life wherever you are. You may vow to get better at staying at the higher levels in each interaction, and I think that's very important. You may vow to never have a fight again, but walk away and find a higher level of communication. You may decide to get better at sending out signals of flirting, and many of you, that's your path here. You may need to see that your journey is to become less perturbable, less reactive to what your partner does or says, and I don't care what they do, you know, if you're reacting big to it, it's going to prolong it. And so your job at that point is to change what you're doing, and that behavior that you don't like will go away. It really will. But you got to do your part first. And for all of us, that is the ultimate goal, to become very non-reactive, don't have any buttons to push, okay? And determine what you will work on in the next week or so by you've realized and you may have written down during this teleseminar. And I want you to follow through this homework by keeping notes on what you do and your success as you do it. Okay, what is the outcome? This will help to expand your faith. It will help to expand you into new behaviors as you see they're working, which you will. Okay, and if you feel uncomfortable, that's a good sign because it means that you are growing. And oftentimes when we grow, we're quite uncomfortable. And it's a pattern I see in the Love Club where people welcome in their soulmate, and they're just uncomfortable as all get out, scared they're going to leave because they did such good work. And so the uncomfortableness is great because it doesn't matter, okay? You still get this love, but it does mean you've grown into something more. And I know you're already, or you wouldn't be here with me, okay? So that is it. I'm sorry I didn't open. Nobody really wrote in questions, so I'm taking it that this time it was about taking in the material and there were no burning questions. But and I apologize because it was a lot to get through. And I apologize, I didn't have time for live questions, but I'm trusting that every single person got what you needed. And I bless you for absolutely dissolving any boundaries you've had to love, any blocks. I bless you for opening up wide to amazing, passionate chemistry that lasts a lifetime. And I bless you to an emotional bonding that sees you through everything and makes your life feel so much more stable and secure and fun. Okay? So that's it. We're done. Thank you for being with you. Thank you for staying with me longer. And I send you all of my love and support as you do this work. We will be in touch soon, all right? So good night and many, many blessings.
The moderator has left the conference.